Glory to God. Such a joy. Such a joy to be with you tonight. Praise God. Amen. I'm so thrilled that I'm excited about God. Are you?
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some things are better left unsaid. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you for the love of God that is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Thank you because you've lifted us up out of the natural realms and into the supernatural realms of your Spirit. Father, I call on the Spirit of God, the teacher, the Holy Ghost, the manifested presence of the Spirit of God to rise on the inside of me tonight, to think through my thoughts and speak through my words. Use my spirit, my soul, my body, that I can be a blessing to the people of God. Father, I'll be quick to give you all the praise and honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. We give our word to you that we will not be forgetful hearers, but we'll be doers of the work, and because of that, we're blessed in all of our deeds. We thank you for it, Father. Amen. 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 Praise God. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. A lot of times whenever I'm teaching, I like to have you thinking about a question. So I want to give you a couple of questions tonight just to be thinking about. These are not for you to answer out loud. This is just between you and God, but this is just for you, okay? But a couple of questions. One, ask yourself, what do you want out of life? What do you expect? What do you want out of life? And then ask yourself the question, what is your definition of success? What is your definition of success? What do you want out of life? What's your definition of success? I'm going to be answering those somewhat from my standpoint tonight, but understand that some of the things that I say will be my opinion based upon me, all right? Opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one. And so, you know, my opinion may not necessarily line up with your direction, but realize what I'm saying to you is my opinion on some of these things. I'll try to let you know where my opinion is and where it's thus saith the Lord, all right? Praise God. The Lord laid this in my heart to share with you. And so in Philippians chapter 4, verse number, let's go ahead and begin reading verse number 10. Philippians 4:10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now notice specifically verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He said, I'm not speaking in respect of want. I have learned. You know, there's things we need to learn. Amen? And he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. Now, you know, some people say, well, that means whether you're in Texas or Oklahoma or Kentucky, wherever it is, But no, that's not the kind of state he's talking about. Whatever state that I am, therewith to be content. Contentment with godliness is great gain. You know, I find out there's many people in the body of Christ that are not content. They're not satisfied with who they are. They haven't yet learned. Now, I realize he's talking. Part of what he's talking about here is finances. He's talking about finances here. But there's principles that we can learn by looking at the principles that are there. And whether you're talking about finances or whether you're talking about any other kind of want, he said, I have learned. He said, I do not speak in respect of want. A couple of years ago, and here's a little opinion for me. This is a battle for me, all right? But a couple of years ago, I began to really wrestle with the ministry that I have. And I began to look at it and think, I've not done what somebody else has done. Now, I've known from the beginning, if you ever start off thinking like that, you're heading for a problem. But you know, sometimes you know better, but you do it anyway. And I started looking at myself thinking, I have not done what somebody else has done. Or maybe it doesn't look like I have accomplished as much as someone else has accomplished. Now, I don't know what you think, all right? I'm 74 years old, and even if you're counting to 120, I'm closer to the end than I was than I am to the beginning. All right? Now, I don't know how many days I've got left. I'm not trying to say, you know, my days are about over. That's not what I'm saying. But I've reached a point in my life where I was looking at the ministry and began to question, did I, should I, what if, yeah, but. And then the Lord began to deal with me. And he said, you don't need to speak with respect of want. Want. What do you want out of life? I want to obey God. Amen? But as I began to look at things and compare me with others, I started to speak in respect of want because I felt inferior to what someone else was. You start to compare yourself with someone else, and you don't ever compare yourself with the bum on the street. No, you don't ever wonder if you're doing as good as he is. If you start to wonder if you're doing as good as somebody else is, you're always going to pick out somebody that looks like a hero to you or something like that. You know, you're not going to. Hallelujah. You don't pick out Superman. You're not going to pick out the weasel. Praise God. I mean, you're going to start looking at Superman. You wonder, can I leap tall buildings in a single bound? Am I faster than a speeding bullet? Praise God. The bullets bounce off of my chest. I mean, hallelujah. You know, you look at someone that you compare as a hero in faith, and you start thinking, am I? And I begin to go through a slump that begin to battle and work upon me because I found that I was not content. And he said, I have learned in whatever state that I'm in to be content. Now notice in verse 12, he said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now in verse 12, or verse 11, he says, I've learned in whatever state that I'm in to be content. In verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now I want you to understand what I am not saying tonight. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so if you don't have a vision, a goal, a dream, if there's not something out there that you're reaching for, then he said the people perish. Now, that doesn't mean they die and go to hell. That just means they start losing. They start falling short. They don't come to the maximum of what they could be. And so I'm not talking about not having a vision. I'm not talking about not pushing yourself to be all that you can be. That's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is wherever you are, you need to be content. And whatever stage, whatever position, whatever level, or if you'll allow me to say it this way, whatever ministry that you're involved in, you need to be content. Because every one of us are in ministry in some form or another. As far as I can tell, there's only one reason for us to be on this earth, and that's to do the will of the Father. I mean, If you accomplished financial success, what the world calls success, and you got to be a billionaire or multi-billionaire or whatever, whenever you breathe your final breath, you don't take it with you. Amen? And so what the natural things is not what's going to make a difference. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be prospering. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying we shouldn't have these goals. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying we shouldn't judge ourselves on possessions or anything else. When God called me into the ministry, He said, I want you to teach my people faith and train ministers. For 54 years now, I have been doing that. One of the things that I told the Lord, and you know, I don't think we accidentally do things. You know, I mean, if you're calling out to God and your heart is open to God, I believe He'll be directing you and helping you even when you don't know that He's directing you and helping you. And so one of the things I told the Lord when he called me in the ministry, I said, I don't have to be popular. I don't have to go to all the places where everybody else goes. I said, send me to places where people don't want to go. Now, I have preached in big churches. I have preached in little churches. I have preached to big crowds. I preached to little crowds. I know how to abound. I know how to obey. Praise God. You know, but the bulk of my ministry all these years has been going to wherever it was that God told me to go and find out that much of the time it's places that anybody else want to go. And then a lot of the times I travel clear across the country for one person. I asked the Lord one day, I said, isn't it non-productive? I mean, isn't it, to spend that much money to do this much to go minister to one person? He said, what if it was your daughter? Hallelujah. What if it was your daughter? Would it be too far to go minister to one if it was your daughter or your son? I said, I apologize, God. I won't question that again. Praise God. Amen? I was checking my life out one day, looking back over the years, and majority of the places that I have gone over the years, it has cost me more money to get there than what I've made while I was there. But I can stand here before you tonight and say, God has taken care of me for 54 years without any manipulation, without any demands, without any contracts, without saying to somebody, you gotta, you know, in fact, Joanne used to get real mad at me whenever I'd say, if God don't tell you to give, don't give. She'd say, don't tell people don't to give. I said, if God doesn't tell them to, I don't want them to. And you know, and she really knew, but she'd get mad at me sometimes, and then she'd say, okay, I understand what you're doing. When I started looking at that and checking that out, I realized it doesn't matter what it may look like to anybody else, my life has been a success. Not saying it's over, because it isn't. That, you understand what I'm saying? But it's been a success because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I always tell people, don't do what I do. Don't try to be me. Don't look and say, I want to be like Brother Tommy. No, that's not the way to do. You look at beyond me and say, I want to be like Jesus. But the point is, I want to be what Jesus wants me to be. Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 7. I'm just going to pick out a couple of verses here. We're not going to go into a lot of detail with them. I'm just going to pick out some things here. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 7, whereof I was made a minister. Now, whatever your position in the body of Christ is, you need to realize you were made that. I am not a teacher on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. That's me all the time. Amen. I was made a minister, and it's not something that I do, it's something that I am. Amen. And if you are made what you are, and it's something not that you do, but it's something that you are because God made you that way, then you need to learn to be content. Praise God. Keep your vision. I'm not talking about not having your vision, but you need to learn to be content. Because the devil will try to beat up on you, and he'll try to get you to compare and all these kind of things else. But he says, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. I am what I am by the grace of God, according to the grace that was given unto me. Now look in Ephesians 4 and verse 7. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. And he says here, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. How many is everyone? Everyone. That's not everyone except you. That's everyone. Every one of us is given grace. Now, there's a lot of... Some people act like the message of grace just got invented. And they're grace is older than we are. Grace is older than man is. I mean, praise God. Grace is unmerited favor. Now, grace operates in different directions. You understand? When you get forgiven, it wasn't because you deserved it. I was ministering in prison a few days ago, and there was a couple of hundred men that were in the class that morning, and most of you probably know that my son-in-law works for Mike Barber Ministries, and Mike Barber spends time ministering in the prison. And so Brian spends almost all of his time ministering in prison. Brian and his family spend almost all their time ministering in prison. And this particular class that I was teaching, they have been training these men that I can't be here all the time. So you're going to have to pick up your ministry. And you're going to have to minister to the bunch whenever I'm not here. I can come in, I can minister to you, but you're going to have to take up your part of the ministry. And this particular group that I was ministering to was what they call their leadership group. They were the ones that are coming to the top and beginning to move out into ministry that they're called to move into. You know, just because somebody's in prison doesn't mean they're not still whatever God called them to be. Right. Amen? Right. And so they're coming forth in what God's called them to be. And I ministered to them, and after the service, one man came up to me, and he said, I've got to ask you a question. He said, I need some help. I said, okay, tell me what's going on. He said, I can't forgive myself. He said, I'm born again child of God. I have received the Lord. But he said, I did things to people's life that still affects their life. And he said, I did things that's still causing people to suffer. And I did things that, you know, that still is so terrible and caused such repercussions in the lives of people that I did it to. He said, I can't forgive myself. I said, well, hold on a minute. Let me ask you again. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Did God forgive you? Yes, he did. Why did he forgive you? By his grace. You didn't deserve it, right? It was unmerited favor. He forgave you not because you were worthy to be forgiven, but he forgave you because of unmerited favor. And if he forgives you, what right do you have not to forgive you? If he thought you was worth forgiving, how can you not be content with that? How can you not accept that? And then I carried it on another step further, and I said, you also have to remember that was the old man that did those things. You got born again. It's like a do-over, only it's better. And I said, it's too good to be true that you're not the one that did those things. Yeah, physically, you're the one that did those things, but that old man died, and you are born again. You are a new creature in Christ. That's too good to be true, but it's true.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen? I mean, when you start thinking about the things of God, it's too good to be true, but it's true. I mean, to think about how much God loves you and you and me and what he's done for us and what he's still doing for us and how he watches over us and protects us and keeps us and guards us from all harm, destruction, and disease. I mean, praise God. I mean, it's too good to be true, but it's true anyhow. Praise God. That's called grace. But then there's another way you look at grace. And here in verse 7 of chapter 4, he said, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, I looked up that word measure, and I found out that in the Greek dictionary, that it is a portion. It means a portion, but by implication, it means a limited portion. Now, faith people don't like that. Word of faith people don't like to think of anything limited. We like those, I'm more than conqueror. We like those, I can do all things through Christ. We like those, he's able to supply abundantly above beyond anything that I can ask or think. We like all those, but we don't like anything that has some kind of a limit on it. But this verse, that word measure, by implication means it is limited. Do you know what that means to me? That means that by grace, he gave me a job to do in the body of Christ. But there's a limit on it because I can't be you. I don't have your grace. I can't do your job. I shouldn't look at you and wonder if I'm doing as good as you because I can't do your job.
That's good.
Amen? I have a measure. It is a limited measure. It, of course, in the confines of that calling, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In the confines of that calling, me and God are more than enough. Praise God. In the confines of that calling, I'm more than conqueror. You understand what I'm saying? In the confines, but I'm limited to that calling. I cannot pastor like Jim can pastor. There's no way I can do it. Why? There's no grace given in me to have that kind of gift. I can't sing like Richard and Michelle. Why? I can't carry it to... No. There's no grace given unto me to do that. Amen? Now, where the grace is given to us, it's limited to the measure where he's called us to, and we shouldn't try to do it all. Most of you have heard me talk about when I was 30 years old, I worked myself into a heart attack. I mean, I physically had a heart attack and almost died. And God gave me a brand new heart in the place of that 30-year-old worn-out one. And doctors have told me that my heart's 30 years younger than I am. And, you know, but I worked myself into that position because I thought I had to do it all. I thought nothing's going to operate if I'm not doing it. Nothing's going to be right unless I'm doing it. Nothing's going to, and I pushed myself. I looked at my family and I thought, I'm not going to neglect my family. God gave me my wife and He gave me my children, and I'm not going to neglect them. I've seen ministers that neglected their families and their families went all to pot. I mean, praise God, 54 years of ministry. Tarina's still with me. Jensie's still with us. Brian and Simber work in ministry full time. Their three children work in ministry. Shelby's married and he's working in ministry. I mean, praise God, we're still knit together in that calling upon the Lord. And we didn't have to go by the way of the junkyard to get there. You hear some people talking, they act like they're proud. They went through the bars and the ghettos and if you did that, I'm not putting you down. Don't misunderstand me. But I didn't have to go through the drug addict to get here. All I had to do is get married. I married a born-again girl, and she got me born again. Praise God. And I had just got to the age where I was going to go wild. None of y'all ever had any plans like I had. My mama had two brothers that would come in every once in a while. They would pass by every once in a while. And they would tell about things they had been doing and where they had been and what kind of bars they'd been in and what kind of women they'd been with and, you know, and how they got beat up and how they beat somebody else up. And I'm sitting there 16, 17, 15, 14. I'm sitting there listening to this and thinking, yeah, sounds like life to me. It sounds like something I want to do. I was waiting on 18. I was waiting till I graduated from high school. And then I was going to go follow those two men. I had my plans. That's what I was going to do. But I graduated from high school and met Joanne. And all of a sudden, what they was doing did not look glamorous at all. And of course, she led me to the Lord, and, you know, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and God called me to preach, and she said, no, I didn't want to marry a preacher. I said, you didn't. Praise God, you married a boy that wasn't even born again. But I said, now God's made me one. And so then she had to deal with it. And she did, and we did, and, you know, and we came into agreement, and we, you know, and we had 52 years of the greatest life I could possibly imagine. Praise God. And I don't know where I was going with that. You don't have to go by the way of the junkyard to find your place in God. Now, if you've been there, thank God you got out of it. And then, you know, that don't hang up on that and glorify it. Praise God. Just remember that wasn't you. You died, and you're a new person now, and that old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And major on the new. My life started when I was 18. Amen. My testimony started when I was 18. That's when I got born again. And 19. Praise God. I was almost 19 when Joanne and me got married, and 30 days later, well, no, I was still 18, because 30 days later I got born again just before I turned 19. All right, I'll get it straight here in a minute. Praise God. And that old life, sometimes we sit around and talk about it. I mean, I'll tell Tarina sometimes some of the things that me and my buddies did, and she said, I can't believe that was my daddy. Well, it wasn't. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not going back to glorify. I've learned to be content. Now, I can share with you this tonight because I struggled with it and I learned something with it. I don't remember if it was Brad or who it was, but in one of the MAC meetings, somebody prophesied to me here, and I don't remember all the prophecy, but part of it said, God's going to start sending you to where you're celebrated, not tolerated.
Right. Yeah.
Start sending you where you're celebrated, not tolerated. And I got to looking at some of the places where I used to go preach that now don't want me to come back to preach again. They have various excuses of why they don't want me to come back and preach again. I've never asked one of them why they don't, you know, why. But I hear them through the grapevine, you know. One pastor told me, he said, this other pastor told him, I'll never have Tommy Williams come and preach in my church again. And he said, why? He said, because he's never happy and he doesn't smile. And he won't talk to people. I said, I don't know which Tommy Williams he had, but it must not have been me. I mean, you know, I mean, when I relax, it becomes a smile. I don't know. I'm happy all over more than anywhere else. I mean, this has been a joyous life. Some people have to work up joy. Hallelujah. Some churches you get into and they act like they got cheerleaders. And they work up until they can work up somebody into having some joy.
Wow.
And you know, I guess that's better than not having any joy at all.
Yeah.
But why don't you just get joy and stay joy? I mean,
yeah.
I know you got to rejoice, and you can't rejoice unless you rejoice. I mean, you can't rejoice unless you rejoice first. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to have joy. But when you get it, let's just keep it. I know we have to refire. We have to do these things. We got to keep on. I'm not talking about losing the vision, but why take one step forward and two steps backwards? I mean, you know, let's take two or three steps forward. If we take one backward, just repent over and go on again, and just keep on moving on, and just come in full of joy.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God. And pep up the cheerleader. I mean, you know, praise God. But one of the worst mistakes that you can make is what I did and try to compare yourself with someone else. Because there is a measure given to you. Hallelujah. Now, turn to, well, where do I want to turn to? I got 2 pages of notes and not enough time to get. I got 3 pages of notes. Forgot this on the back. 3 pages of notes and not enough time to get to all of it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter 13, let's begin in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 13:9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know it even as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now notice what Paul's saying here. There's a time coming. I heard someone the other day say, you need to have short-term goals, and you need to have long-term goals. And I thought about it for a minute and thought, do I have short-term goals and long-term goals? They said I needed to. What I mean, Do I? And then I thought about it for a minute, and I thought, yeah, I do. I have a long-time goal. My long-time goal is I intend to go to heaven.
All right.
Praise God. That's my goal. That's where I'm headed. When I get there, I intend to hear him say, well done. I mean, that's my long-time goal. Now, I got short-time goals, and the short-term goals is I'm going to obey God every day.
Come on.
Yeah. Amen? Now, you may have different goals. I'm not trying to get you to be what I'm being. You understand? I just was thinking about me. And I'm thinking, I have a long-time goal. My long-term goal is, however long I'm here, I want to obey God every day. Every day I want to obey God. Every day I want to be me. I don't want to try to be somebody else. I don't want to try to manipulate or change or you know, I don't want to do anything like that. I want to be, when you see me, this is what you get. All right? I mean, I'm not different out of the pulpit than I am in the pulpit. Now, of course, you know, every one of us, every preacher I know, when he gets up and starts preaching, puts on that mantle to preach, I mean, he acts different. You know what I'm saying? But the inside, there's no real difference. I get excited when I'm sitting at the coffee bar talking to Tarina. I get excited when I'm talking to the guy in prison. I get excited when I'm standing in front of a crowd. I get Jesus is exciting to me. I never have understood people that says, do I have to go to church? Do I have to pray? Do I have to give? I never have understood the have to part. I mean, when I got born again, I thought, I get to? I mean, I can go to church and worship God? I can, God, listen, how many of you realize God ain't poor? God is not broke. God doesn't need our money. But he lets us give. He allows us to give. It's not I have to. That's the reason why I would tell people, if God don't tell you to give, don't. You're not my source. He is. Amen? I mean, we love to do what we do. The only thing I don't love about my job is the study part. In the first year of my ministry, I was, you know, quoting God the verses that I knew. And he said, there's another verse I'd like for you to see. And he took me to 2 Timothy 2:15, and the first word there is study. And I thought, oh, God. I don't know why I didn't like study in school, and I've been preaching for 54 years. I still don't like to study. Now, when I start studying, I get excited all over more than anywhere else. But the moment I see something, I want to go tell somebody. Yeah. I don't want to keep sitting there studying. I want to get up and go tell it, you know. Yeah. Hallelujah. But you got to keep studying so you'll have something else to keep telling.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Study. I suppose that's the only part of my job that I don't like. I get tired of traveling. I do. Physically, I get tired. Somebody asked me one time, said, where do you go on vacation? I said, home. You travel all the time, and home's the vacation. Praise God. Traveling, I get tired of it. But all I got to do is stop a day or two, and I get antsy. Let's go somewhere. Let's do something. Praise God. Now, how many of you realize you got to have a goal out in front of you, and you can't, you don't, I mean, You possess the goal, but until it's manifested, you can't do much with it. If you haven't seen it yet, when you go out, there's a white expedition sitting next to Jim's white expedition, and God just gave us that. Praise God. Now, when we prayed, Trina and I agreed together in prayer, and we received it. And it was ours. But we couldn't ride in it, because it was not manifested yet. Went to church one day at Eagle Mountain Church, where we go when we're in Fort Worth. Went to church one day, and Pastor George Pearson called me up out of the crowd. And he said, Eagle Mountain Church is going to buy you a car. And I said, hallelujah, I received that. I received it when I prayed. I received it when George said it, but I still couldn't ride in it because it wasn't manifested. Praise God. Now it's manifested, and now we ride in it. Amen. Don't get upset if there's something you can't ride in yet. Receive it, move on it, that's yours, accept it, praise God with it, but if you can't ride in it right now, don't worry about it, it's already yours, just you're waiting on the manifestation of it so you can ride in it. Amen. Yeah. You've heard me tell the story whenever Joanne and I needed $500 one day, and we prayed. Now, $500 is not much unless you ain't got it. If you ain't got it, it's a bunch. Especially if you don't know where the next nickel's coming from. I mean, of course, I always know where it's coming from because it's coming from God. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. And so, Joanne and I prayed. And we received it. That morning, in our prayer, we received it. The next morning, when I got up, the devil was laughing. Y'all ever hear the devil laugh? He's got a hideous laugh. But he's laughing at me. He said, didn't work, did it? I said, what didn't work? He said, you didn't get your money. I said, oh, yeah, I did. I got it yesterday when I prayed. He said, you'll never possess it. I said, I already did. He said, that won't work. I said, how can it not work when it already did? Well. I received it. He said, you can't see it. I said, you can if you look with the right eye. If you look with the eye of faith, you can see it. And you know, this went on for 10 days. And, you know, in 10 days, the folks who wanted the $500 that I was believing God to give to them was getting antsy. And I told the Lord, I said, I received it 10 days ago when I prayed. Looks to me like it'd be a real good day for it to manifest. I mean, it'd be good to ride in it. You know what I'm saying? But right now, I still received it when I prayed. And I went to a service, and a lady come and handed me a check, and she said, God told me to give this to you several days ago. And I sat down and wrote out the check, and then my husband called me, and we left town. And I got back home yesterday and saw the check still laying on my desk, and so I brought it to you. It was dated the day that we prayed and said we receive. Amen? Now, the devil saw it all the time. He knew it was all the time, but he's over there trying to tell me it's not going to work. Yeah. Don't you know he knows by now that he's defeated?
Come on.
Yeah. Don't you know by now he knows it's a losing battle? But he won't give up. He's still in there telling you to give up, telling you it's not going to work, and trying to get us to compare ourselves with another, and all these things. But I'm content. You learn to be content in whatever state that you're in the measure of the grace that he's given to me. Now, I don't ask anybody else to do that. That's the way Joanne and I functioned for all these years. We take our needs to the Lord. We ask the Lord for it. He provides it. Amen? Do you know how many times I have looked at my bank account and looked at somebody else and thought, Lord, It looks to me like that manipulation is working better than faith. You have any idea how many times I've thought that? I don't either. I guess I've thought that more times than I can count. I don't know, but I have no, I don't keep record of how many times I thought that. But whenever you think that, you put that down and no, I will not go another way just because it looks like it might be easier. Amen. And so therefore, I come back to the point again. I'm content in where I am because this is the grace that God has called me to be. What I want out of life is to obey God. If that's travel across the nation or around the world to minister to one person, that's what I want to do. When I do that, it brings the greatest amount of joy than you can possibly imagine. Well, doesn't it cost a lot of money? Yeah, but I don't have to pay for it. God pays for it. If you're working for a large corporation and they want to send you around the world and they're going to pay all the expenses, you don't worry about how you're going to do it. Listen, God and Sons is the biggest corporation you can work for. And when you're working for God and Sons, and all of us are, you may have a job, but you're not limited to the income on your job. I mean, that's not where the limit is. The limit is what God's called you to do. You got to fit in that grace where God's called you. But the income, the finances, those things are not limited. I said a minute ago that opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one. This what we read there just a moment ago said, here we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Now, I've been doing this for 54 years, so I can talk from experience, all right? There has been times that I prophesied what I knew God wanted me to say, but I colored it a little bit with my opinion. I've noticed everybody else that prophesies does the same thing. Why? We prophesy in part. We're still human vessels. And it's easy for us to prophesy our opinion. You go into a place where they believe that America's fallen apart and that America's doomed to fail, and that everybody's going to crash and everybody's going to be broken. We're all going to be going through tribulation and praying, dear Lord Jesus, please come quickly. And their prophecies will reflect that.
Right. Come on.
You go into a place where they believe like we do around here, the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just. There's a wealth transfer and wealth is coming into us. America's not going to fall because God raised us up to get a job done, and we're still a part of what God's doing, and praise God, He's still using us. And if He wouldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if they found 10 righteous people, what's He going to do with America with all of us that are serving God and believing God and reaching out to Him? And you go into a place like us and your prophecies come forth, and we're not prophesying doom and gloom. But we know in part. And you know, I expect to next year know more than what I know now. And I might have to correct some little tweaks on something. Now the main thing, the major things, you know what, you know Jesus is Lord. We know He's the Savior. We know all those things. But you know, there's a lot of little in-between stuff there. Like you can have what you say. Yeah, if you say what you ought to have. Well, you know, if it gets to be real serious, you say it loud. Because God might not hear you if you don't say it loud. Now, we won't say that, but we act that way sometimes. And then, of course, if you can squeeze out a little tear to go with it. Hallelujah. Why we do that? Because that's our opinion. Y'all heard me tell about my stomach being upset. You get something as big as my stomach upset, you got a problem. But my stomach was upset, and this guy wanted to take us out to eat after church, and my stomach was saying, I want to do anything but go eat. And he's standing there saying, I want to take you out. And I thought, he's wanting to do this, and I'm going to rob him of a blessing if I don't let him do it. Years ago, in fact, I didn't start drinking coffee till I was 70 years old. I didn't like coffee. I tried the taste of it. It didn't taste good. I have a missionary nose. I don't smell very much. I can go into the cruddiest, junkiest, stinkiest places and it don't bother me because I don't smell it. But I could smell coffee when they first opened the can or when it's cooking, I could smell it. And it smelled good. And I'd try to drink some and I couldn't stand the taste of it. And then my grandson introduced me to Snicker-flavored cream. Almond Joy. Whew, everything's better with chocolate on it. He introduced me to them flavored creamers, and I discovered, whoo, this is all right. Now, we would buy a quart of cream, and I would put a little coffee with my cream. In a little bit, I started having a little more coffee with my cream, and then after a while, I started drinking it black, and sometimes, you know, I'll put cream in it, and sometimes I don't, but I've learned to like it now. But I'm talking about before I learned to like it, I was in Albania, and this family wanted to bless us. And they blessed us by making coffee. And I thought, yuck. Now to start with, you couldn't see through their water like you can see through that one. Is this mine? But you didn't see through that water. You couldn't see through theirs. It was brown, dirty. And then they added all this coffee to it. And I thought, I can't drink this. And my interpreter said, their 9-year-old son walked 5 miles this morning to get water to make this coffee for you because they wanted you to have some coffee and they wanted to bless you. I said, can I have another cup? Hallelujah. I was blessed because there was a man with me who liked coffee and he had switched cups with me. But I did drink some of it. But we went out to eat that night, and my stomach was so sick I didn't feel like I could even set up, much less eat. And they brought our food out to us, and they brought a salad. He wanted to buy us a big steak, and that's what he had bought us. But they brought out this salad first, and I looked at that salad, and I thought, I don't want that, but I'm going to eat it. Pray and thank God for it, receive it with thanksgiving, I'm going to eat it. And I sat there and I ate every bit of my salad, and I looked over and Joanne wasn't eating hers. And she said, you know, I believe this salad dressing's ruined. We made a deal that night. If anything we're eating is ruined, you tell me before I eat it or you never bring it up. But I ate that whole salad with ruined salad dressing on top of a sick stomach. And when she said, I believe this is ruined, I went, and I knew it was going to try to come back. And I figured it'd taste worse coming back. No. And I excused myself from the table, and I got up and walked into the bathroom, and I looked around under every stall to make sure I was in there by myself. I don't scare people on purpose. I looked around and thought I was in there by myself. And so I started, "Devil, my food and my drink is blessed. You cannot make me sick. I am going to receive this, and it doesn't make any difference if it was ruined. It is blessed when I ate it. And so I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, you're going to leave me alone. And stomach, you listen to me." And I was about that loud. "Listen to me, stomach. You're going to receive that, and you're not bringing it back up." And when I quietened down, I heard the door open. I looked around, and there's a man came out of this stall down here, and he looked at me like I was from another planet. And I said, "Good evening." He didn't say a word. He never turned his back on me. He backed down the wall and up the other wall to the door and opened it up without turning his back on me and shot out the door, and he was gone. I didn't do that on purpose. I wouldn't have scared him that way on purpose for anything. But I do know that sometimes whenever we get real serious about things, we think we need to get loud, or we need to do, you know, we need to do something else. And none of that's necessary. We do that because of us. And we get that touched with our opinion. Joanne never did have to get loud like that. But she could scare the devil and me too. Just with a soft voice. I've seen her cast devils out of great big old men. Big ugly demons. I'm not talking about little demons, you know, like it's in America. I'm talking about demons on the mission field. Somebody said one time, the only demons in America are those that couldn't make it on the mission field. But if she said Tommy to me, I might say, "Just a minute." If she said Tommy Darrell, I said, "What do you need?" If she said Tommy Darrell Williams, I better be there by the time she finished Williams. You know what? You know what? You understand what I'm saying? You guys don't look at me so holy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, praise God. She didn't have to raise her voice. It's our opinion that gets involved in some of the things that we do. Now, I study because I have to. I don't enjoy it. I enjoy preaching after study, and I enjoy having revelation, so I study. You understand what I'm saying? But while I'm studying, I don't enjoy that part. But it's necessary. It's part of what I do. I used to enjoy riding on airplanes. I don't enjoy riding on airplanes anymore. I do it sometimes because I have to get there, you know. But airplanes was not built with me in mind. I don't know what size of people they expect on airplanes. But they didn't build them with my size in mind. I stepped into the restroom in one airplane and couldn't straighten up. My shoulders was touching the ceiling. And I did my business and couldn't turn to the sink, which was over here. So I had to reach behind me, open the door, step out and turn around and step back in to wash my hands. And then I went to sit down in a seat. You know, they have bucket seats, but not everybody's bucket's the same size. And I start to sit down in the seat, and the arms of the seat goes. Sometime back, whenever I was having real hard time walking. We went into to some store, and you know, sometimes you do things because you're led of the Lord, and sometimes you do things because you're led of needing to go to the bathroom. And when I got there that day, I was led to go to the bathroom quickly. So I grabbed one of the baskets, and I used it like a walker, and I took off to the back. The bathroom was way in the back. And I took off to the bathroom, and I got back there and realized there's no way I'm getting back to the front. So I called, thank God for cell phones. I don't know what we used to do. I've become so dependent upon my cell phone now. We can leave the house, and Trina remembers that she forgot hers. We'll turn around and go back and get it. I mean, used to drive all over the nation, go around the world without one, but now you can't go to the store without it. I'm the same way. I mean, I've become dependent upon that. Thank God I had it with me that day, because I called Jency and said, find a wheelchair. Come and get me. I can't walk back to the front. Now, you faith people forgive me, but I couldn't. Okay? I still believe I'm healed, all these kind of things, but I couldn't. And so I said, get a wheelchair, come and get me. She come in with a wheelchair that looked like it was made for her. Have you noticed how little she is? She has to stand up twice to make a shadow. I mean, and she come with a wheelchair that looked like it was made for her. When I sat down in it, I believe I heard the chair groan. And the arms just ran out there, and I plopped down in it. And I thought we was going to have a can opener to get it off of me. We got to the car, and I couldn't get out of the thing. And Trina got her arm there like she does, and she leaned back to help me up, and the chair came with me. I tell Trina, she's blessed. She don't have to go to the gym to work out. All she got to do is pick me up all the time. But she's caught a hold and picked me up out of that chair, and the chair came with me. And Jency's on the backside pulling on the chair. Trina's on his side pulling on me, and eventually I popped out of it. But it was difficult. I done embarrassed some people. Okay, let me get back. Turn with me to Psalms number 139. Psalm number 139. Trina, do you have any idea what time I started? Huh? An hour ago? There's a clock here, but I don't know how to turn it on. So it's still saying zero. I don't know if that means I hadn't started or it's time to quit. Psalm number 139. Verse number 14. This is what God thinks about you. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You're the apple of his eye. You're special to him. He thinks that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully comes from a Hebrew word which means held in reverence. Wonderfully comes from a Hebrew word which means distinguished, put a difference, separate, set apart, and I like to add, there's none like you. When I grew up, when I was in high school, my two best friends were twin boys. They were identical twins, and most people couldn't tell them apart. But I was around them enough that I could see them walking down the road and I could tell you which one was which. Their voice sounded alike, they looked alike, you know, but there was enough difference that I could recognize the difference in them. It'll make a difference how much you look like somebody else. You're different. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're set apart. We have been born again, which makes us a royal priesthood. It makes us an heir of God. It makes us a joint heir with Jesus. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Matthew 19:26 says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mark 9:23 says that if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If we can believe that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, then we can be content in whatever state that we're in. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are your works, Lord. I look around at you, and I realize you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And marvelous is the God, is the job that God has done on you. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, we have a measure, a limited measure of grace for the gift that we are. But in that gift, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. None like us. Nobody else can be me. Trina says she never knows when I get up what's going to come out. I started to tell something one night, and I saw Jency turn bright red, and she ducked her head. And she told me later, I was thinking, surely he's not going to tell that. But he did. But that's me. That's me. Amen? What you see is what you get. That's me. If I get stuck in a wheelchair and have to have it pried off me, that's because there ain't no reason to lie about it. Y'all can tell my bucket's bigger than some people's bucket. I mean, it. But I can tell you this, I would rather preach than eat. And it's obvious that I like to eat. But I'd rather preach than eat. The life of God, the life that God picked for you when he knew you before you was even in your mother's womb, when he knew you before the world was created, when he hand-picked and chose you and fearfully and wonderfully made you. That life is so exciting and so tremendous with the gift that he's given to you. Be content. After I struggled that little while, I kicked it off and realized, in my opinion, I'm of all men most blessed. I have, and other men ought to feel the same way, so I'm not telling you. I'm talking about my opinion. This is my belly button, okay? In my opinion, I'm of all men most blessed. At 52 years and 1 month with the most beautiful lady that I've ever seen, and I've got a picture on my Facebook of she and I looking at one another. And I realize that the way she's looking at me, some men never have a woman look at them like that.
Come on.
But I had it for 52 years. And I got kids that somehow or another think their daddy's just the best. Trina said, maybe we're not supposed to have favorite preachers. But I got one. You're my favorite. And, you know, and I got grandkids that serve God. I got a God that has watched over me and protected me and kept me and did miracles. We could talk about all night long about what he has done and what I've seen him do. And he ain't through. Amen. Wished. Marvelous. Oh, I wish I had that. No, you don't. You wish you had you. Be content. content with the state you're in and let him do for you right where you are what he does for me where I am. Amen? He's God. He's God. He's God. Amen. Not that I speak with respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege and honor of being called into the ministry that you've called me into. Thank you for the privilege and honor of knowing people like House of the Lord people. Thank you, Lord, for thank you for everything, Lord. Just praise you. Thank you. Forgive me for any times that I've complained. I've already asked you to, so I know it's forgiven. Thank you for the grace that's unmerited favor that forgives me even when I don't deserve to be forgiven, but you do it anyway. Thank you for it, Father. We love you. We praise you. We glorify your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the honor of being able to come and share with you what God put on my heart to just share with you. Amen. Praise God.